You're listening to Freethinker Radio on 90.1 KPFT Houston, your home for uncensored news and underground music since 2011.
All right, what's up, Micah? We're live.
We're live on KPFT, 100,000 watts of power and a massive broadcasting reach. I love being here. I'm happy to be hanging out with you again, Derek. I'm thankful for all the people that are, you know, doing what they can to support KPFT and to support our show. I'm really thankful that we get to play all this great music. I know we're going to look forward to hearing such marvelous monsters at this hour and more. I know we're going to get into the local real quick. And speaking of such marvelous monsters, I know they're going to be playing. I think it's 19th hole on Saturday. Just go to their page or look for them, and you can find they're playing Saturday. So if you like that music. Also know Ganesha is playing at Kickback Bar this weekend. So you've heard them here. But yeah, I know we got more to get into than just all the wonderful music. So let's talk about the other things.
There's a lot happening this week on Freethinker Radio. Micah shouted out that we are live, of course, on 90.1 KPFT in Houston every Friday from 5 p.m. I'll also mention that we go live for our live video show on Odyssey, on Rockfin, on DLive, all under the name The Conscious Resistance, if you ever want to see that. And of course, if you want to check out our archives, you can go to thehoustonfreethinkers.com. And you can check out the video and audio archives for our show. And of course, if you are somebody who follows podcasts on Spotify, you can find Freethinker Radio there as well. So lots of good stuff happening. I'm still down here in Acapulco, Micah, and then headed back home shortly. And then hopefully back into Houston soon to record in person. But in the meantime, you're right, we got lots to cover today. I think that today is going to be a different show than maybe some of our others, where Micah and I both just have so much to share and so much news. That's not to say there isn't a lot happening right now. There's situations I don't even think we got time to get into, Ukraine and et cetera. I mean, maybe we should mention that at some point that the U.S. government has now predicted there's going to be an attack from Russia and nothing has happened. But the point is, there's a few kind of key stories we're going to focus in on today. I think we got six or seven or so. Focus it on some elements of those, maybe have a discussion. We'd love to hear your comments. So wherever you're watching from, please thumbs up, comment below, and we'll read your comments on air. And then, of course, as Micah said, we got some music. I'm going to play some music in just a little bit from Alice Clay, who's a longtime truth conscious hip hop artist who is actually out here in Acapulco, where I'm at right now, getting to perform some music tonight. So we'll play some of her music. But why don't we – you got any – anything else you want to mention, Micah? Any other events or anything that we should talk about before we move on?
No, I know there's been all kinds of things going on locally, but my focus has been elsewhere. I mean, I did make it out to J-Fest last weekend, but as far as, you know, the beatdowns and all that, let's just go on past that this time, and let's get into some greater stuff you might think of as greater.
Yeah, let's do that. I got a couple of stories that I do want to mention. I actually did a report about this the other day, but it's worth mentioning again on Freethinker Radio, because we were talking, Micah, last week, and just I think the last couple weeks we've been trying to at the least keep an ear on the evolving situation in Canada related to this so-called Freedom Convoy, Trucker Convoy. And, you know, like usual, people associated with this particular movement have been labeled right-wing extremists, racist, literal Nazis, even things like that. I don't know that I would say any of these claims are very accurate, but the point is people associated with this movement, which has been blockading certain streets in Ottawa, and then now people trying to block international bridges between the Detroit and Ontario, that this is getting the attention of the media for sure. Whether you agree with the strategy or not, we kind of talked about that last week, Micah, about different strategies, movements might block streets or do things like that. The point is, it's having an effect. It's reached the corporate media. It's reached the mainstream media. And so the first story I want to share is just about that, Micah, because if for those who might not have heard this update, I mean, I think this is some pretty scary territory that we're lurching into right here. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. And I want you guys to just hear. Here, let me make sure that this video will actually work real quick, actually. We're going to try to play this clip, Micah. You let me know if you can hear the audio real quick while I switch over. Tell me if you can hear this video. This woman that we're about to play is Canada's Deputy Prime Minister, Chrystia Freeland, Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Finance. This is her standing next to Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, and announcing that people who, get this, Micah, people who have tried to fund the Freedom Convoy, because as we talked about last week, they were raising money through GoFundMe, the government got GoFundMe to like seize the funds and deny them access to them. And then they tried this other company, GiveSendGo. And then the Canadian government went directly to the bank that was going to process the payments and then ordered them not to give them the money. So they're trying all kinds of different ways to prevent people from crowdfunding and from fundraising. And so Justin Trudeau and Chrystia Freeland of Canada announced that banks can now immediately freeze or suspend bank accounts without a court order and be protected from civil liability if you have donated or attempt to donate to this this cause. So before we dissect that, I'm just going to play this clip here. And I just want you
to hurt my head. They're saying your money isn't your money. You can't spend it on what you want.
That is exactly what they're saying. They're saying, so let's, this is just a, how long is this clip? 45 second clip. So check this out real quick.
To their relationships with anyone involved in the illegal blockades and report to the RCMP or CSIS. As of today, a bank or other financial service provider will be able to immediately freeze or suspend an account without a court order. In doing so, they will be protected against civil liability for actions taken in good faith. Federal government institutions will have a new broad authority to share relevant information with banks and other financial service providers to ensure.
Okay, so that's.
That's very unnerving. That's very unnerving if you really think about what she said. I'm sure you have, Derek. I mean, she's saying that if they suspect that you've sent money to one of these organizations, or you did. If you did send money to one of these organizations, I don't know, is it only once they made a ban against them that now your bank account can be frozen? I mean, I don't. If I know your typical bankster, they're out there looking now. Oh, who's been sending money? Who? Let's go ahead and freeze those accounts.
Yeah, I think that it is a super dangerous thing, man. I mean, like, I want to share that this
like was taking your money from giving to these guys. I mean, that's like taking your money for giving to Occupy in a way, if they did something like that.
And this is what I'm saying. Like, it could, at this point now, it could just be any cause that they don't agree with, right? Like, oh, you gave money to those people. Well, now we're seizing your bank account. You gave money to those people. Well, now you can't access services anymore. Like, it's a super dangerous
step. We're not talking about like murderers and, you know, bank robbers and supporting them. I mean, I know a lot of people feel different about, you know, the subjects we're talking about, the particular instance we're talking about. But at the same time, I mean, you got to ask yourself, whose money is it? And now it's illegal, right? Now it's illegal. You're not allowed to block the streets, right? So now for blocking the streets, they're going to freeze people. The people who supported people blocking the streets, they're going to take their money. You didn't even have to block the street. All you had to do, and they were really unnerved by the amount of support that they got. And then there's the people who lent material support, just flat out bringing fuel and food down to them. So I wonder if they, you know, were you caught on camera? Was there facial recognition on you? Because now maybe your bank account will get froze. Maybe you should have had not all your eggs in one basket in the banks. I mean, this is another lesson right there, right? The banks and the government are going to work together if they don't like you to take your assets. So maybe don't keep your denominated assets.
You know, and Micah, it's interesting. This is one of the reasons why I named today's show Freethinker Radio, Break Free from the Banks, because it's exactly what you were talking about. That to me, and I've seen people tweeting about this and saying like, hey, these kind of statements, these are a huge, this is like the biggest advertisement you could get for silver or for crypto or for alternative currencies. Is like, hey guys, look, what they're telling you is like, if you're using a banking system, they're going to try to seize it. That clip I just played, it wasn't actually the full statement. I don't have the rest of the video here in front of me, but there's another moment where she also specifically mentions cryptocurrencies and specifically says, if you are crowdfunding, so if you give to a crowdfunding campaign or if you send cryptocurrencies, they were saying like they're going to try to track you and, you know, you could be deemed, I guess, supporting the wrong people or whatever. But I mean, this is just, it's a pretty dangerous step, I would say. And this was because Trudeau invoked the Emergencies Act for the first time, which is like, you know, kind of like a Patriot Act type thing, like a terrorist bill. And then I do want to point this out for those who are watching on screen. Look, you go to the World Economic Forum, the people who are pushing the Great Reset. And look, you see Chrystia Freeland, Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Finance of Canada, is a partner with them. And she's listed under there as a partner. And then, yeah, this was a following Justin Trudeau invoking the Emergencies Act because of the ongoing protests in Canada. And like, wow, I think it's just really astounding that we're at that point now.
Why can't the people freeze the government's assets when the government acts illegally? I mean, oh, I get it. It's another one of those things, right, where they can do things to you. That
one rule for them, one rule for the ruled, right? I mean, we've been saying that.
The illegal wiretapping. Yeah, illegal wiretapping, illegal wars. I'm sure it's the same in Canada. You think they're not spying on their people and have some rules against it? I mean, you think they're not? It's just, I don't know. It's crazy.
It's crazy, man. But that's kind of, we'll keep you guys updated on the situation, but that's where it's evolving now to in Canada. If you have given money to the Freedom Convoy, like you said, Micah, not even been physically on the road blocking streets or doing anything like that. But if you were just like, you know what, I'm a sitting at home person who wants to support, I'm going to throw $10 into that crowdfunding campaign. You could have your bank accounts seized and your money denied, you know, from you. Pretty nuts.
I guess it's about power. And control.
Yeah, you know? I think it is about power and control. You were right. Like, I've seen some people try to, from the, let's say, the other perspective, say like, oh, these truckers or this protest, it has less than 10% of the population support, and 90% of people in Canada or in Canada are vaccinated. And I don't know if that number is accurate, but you could say that. But it sure looks like they had a lot of financial support. And then, of course, the way that they tried to spin it, the Canadian government, including Trudeau, was saying, this seems to be coming from pockets of the United States that are supporting and funding this, and, you know, foreign actors or whatever, right? It's like, yeah, people in the U.S. are trying to help support this movement, and some people are taking inspiration from it. You know, there's people talking about trying to do similar things in the U.S. But again, today's title of this episode, Break Free of the Banks. That's been the theme of our message since the very beginning, back in 2011, when we were talking about the Federal Reserve System. And this is, I think, a perfect example of how if you are ingrained in those banking systems, they can seize your stuff. They can take it from you because you're now saying the wrong things. You got wrong think, wrong speak. You attended the wrong protest. You supported the wrong people. And yeah.
That's totally in addition to them draining your blood at night, you know, with the inflation and everything. I mean, so I think this is just, you know, pushing it further and further. It's about power. And it's about you do what we say. Don't express yourselves. Don't support people expressing themselves. And, you know, that's what it's about. I've got another story if you want to get into it about Canada, if we're wrapping that one up. But it's like what Americans and all Westerners should learn about Canada's digital crackdown on freedom.
Yeah, I got that one. Go ahead and pull that one up. I think that fits perfect because I had another one, but this one's probably better for follow-up with that.
For sure. It turns out that we keep talking about him. Justin Trudeau has essentially declared himself supreme dictator over a nation on our northern border. We now have full-on totalitarian regime adjacent to the United States. This is no small development, so let's break it down. The Canadian Civil Liberties Association has condemned Trudeau for invoking the Emergencies Act, claiming in a tweet that the Canadian federal government, quote, has not met the threshold necessary, unquote, to do so. See, like, they don't just let people do this willy-nilly. There's requirements, you know, to set up the Emergency Act. Quote, the Emergencies Act can only be invoked when a situation seriously threatens the ability of the government of Canada to preserve the sovereignty, security, and territorial integrity of Canada. So you got to ask yourself, is that doing that? You know, and when the situation cannot be effectively dealt with under any other law of Canada. So there has to be no other law. Like, I'm sure there's a law to not block the streets on that one, you know. But yeah, this is getting even deeper into digital, you know, privacy, stuff like this. By invoking this act, and the first time it's ever been done in Canadian history, Trudeau has essentially declared a form of martial law. This petty dictator has apparently made himself available to the global predators and offered up his country to be the first in the formerly free world to transition from freedom into the grand utopia of the Great Reset. And we thought it would take a war on, a war or an economic collapse to get the Western democracies to implement the Great Reset. No, it can be done with a stroke of a pen in a fake emergency. This form of martial law targets a select group of Canadians who are exercising their right to peaceful protest under the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. But now they have been branded as criminals. Bank accounts are being frozen with no due process. Licenses suspended, people arrested. I mean, if the government can't even protect your property and starts working against you, whose side are they on? But according to the Civil Liberties Association, Trudeau is illegally invoking the act because the nation has not met the threshold laid out in the law to qualify as a legitimate national emergency. Lori Williams, a politics professor at Mount Royal University of Calgary, told Reuters that there's a danger that this could create even more problems, calling the powers enormous. That's why this has to be done with the cooperation of premiers. And if they didn't want the help, then the federal government needs to hang back. Leia West, an assistant professor at Carleton University of Ottawa, doubted that the move met standards, posting on Twitter that the country's sovereignty is not endangered by largely nonviolent protests. And that's what you got to ask yourself. Is the nation of Canada in danger? The nation. I mean, that's what they're talking about, the sovereignty and, you know, of the nation. So who is the real criminal here? This should be a lesson for all Americans and citizens of other Western nations. Trudeau is obviously not the person in charge of making such drastic decisions. No more than Biden is in charge here in Washington, D.C., or Macron is in charge in Paris, or Johnson in London. Trudeau answers to the Davos elite. I don't even know what a Davos elite is, but we could just say the elite, right? Committed to the agenda.
Davos is the place in Switzerland where the World Economic Forum meets. So they kind of get that name, Davos elite, Davos class.
Yeah, so the Davos elites, the elites committed to the agenda of the World Economic Forum. You know, just listen to the name of that, right? We have already covered that in our recent three-part series, blah, blah, blah. So, the World Economic Forum globalists play dirty. That's why they are called global predators. They hire and train politicians who are known psychopaths like Trudeau in Canada, Macron in France. And we've talked about Macron and how he's even said, you know, like, if you don't wear a mask and you don't obey what he says, you're not even a French citizen. You know, we've seen things like that here in America. People act like we haven't, but, you know, enemy combatant. What is the other word they had there for a little while? Not domestic terrorist, but, you know, something like that. But nonetheless, they hire.
Or they would call it militants, like militants.
Yeah. Right? Different buzzwords to other an individual and take their humanity away. I mean, I get it. If you've murdered someone, you know, it makes sense to say that person's killed someone. And sure, people will make judgments, but they're not doing it about this. They're doing it about big swaths of people that, as was been demonstrated, largely nonviolent protests. And even the civil liberties unions up there in Canada are supporting them, you know, because I guess they're able to see that people are just losing their rights and freedoms to authoritarian regimes throughout the world, especially at homes where they didn't think it would happen. But it turns out that none of Trudeau's actions should be viewed as that of a national leader. He is simply implementing the tactics he learned at the WEF founder Klaus Schwab's Young Global Leaders Program, for which he is a graduate. And I guess he's probably, like, you know, pretty high up in the class of those guys.
We talked about that one a little bit last week, too, Micah, about, like, how I actually pulled up an article I think we showed on the show that there's this one article that did a good job of collecting, like, all the different world leaders who are part of the Global Leaders Program for the World Economic Forum. And everybody from Putin to Angela Merkel to Macron to Trudeau to even that woman that made that statement, Chrystia Freeland, have been partnered or worked with the World Economic Forum in one way or another. So it's definitely like some of the same connections we've been seeing abroad. And I want to mention one thing, Micah, if I real quick.
Build Back Better is a World Economic Forum slogan?
Yeah, it is. And you know who else uses that? The mayor of Houston. Joe Biden as well. Look, I just found this online. This is from the Washington Post. I don't know when exactly this was published, but it's from the Washington Post. And the title says, "The Ottawa Trucker Convoy is rooted in Canada's settler colonial history." And the person tweeting this is basically saying, this just in, the concept of freedom is racist now. Of course, they're being sarcastic. But if you read what this article said, it says, "The primarily white supporters of the Freedom Convoy argue that pandemic mandates infringe upon their constitutional rights to freedom. This notion of, you know, quote unquote, freedom was historically and remains intertwined with whiteness. As this historian has argued, he believes that one's entitlement to freedom is a key component of white supremacy and explains that Freedom Convoy members see themselves as entitled to freedom, no matter what.
I think the people on the Underground Railroad would beg to differ. I think freedom has meant diverse things to many different people. Maybe a particular shade of freedom. I don't know. I'm not.
I hate that. Like somebody's real struggle for freedom and for ending mandates. That again, even I want to say this to somebody who might be listening on KPFT or anywhere else who's like, yeah, but guys, the pandemic and blah, blah, is like, look, even in the mainstream, we just talked about this. I think we might've mentioned it last week. If not, we'll mention it today. Even in the mainstream, things that a year ago we were being told are conspiracy theories and disinformation are now being acknowledged, including a lot of mainstream outlets and scientists saying that you're right. Masks don't really do too much. They probably didn't stop anything. Lockdowns do hurt people. Oh, and by the way, all those women saying they were having menstrual problems and you know, all kinds of miscarriages. Okay, the European Union finally announced they're going to investigate it and take it seriously. A year after how many people have been censored and called crazy or dismissed. But you know, you're supposed to trust the science and listen to women when it's convenient, and you know, all these kinds of things that now they want to take this argument and try to twist it into this identity politics that only people who care about this freedom are just white people, white supremacy. Like it's just so, I don't know how anybody can really take this serious.
Yeah, I think that's true. There's a couple of last things I'd like to say about the that one article that I was covering. And, you know, the article makes some claims. It claims the global predators knew their forced masking and mandated injections would eventually lead to worldwide uprisings and civil unrest. They predicted it, in fact, in the Rockefeller Foundation documented called Lockstep. How to handle these popular uprisings was all discussed and rehearsed ahead of time because they're ahead of you working on the power games, right? This is the Great Reset right in our faces. You obey, you get a semblance of your normal life through though it will be nothing like your previous life, you disobey, and your new masters will get you otherized and canceled from society. We've been talking about the Great Reset in theory for a while now. Now we're starting to see clear examples of how it works right here in the West, you know? So in a way, Trudeau's invoking of the Emergencies Act is worse than a military martial law. This is digital economic warfare against the Canadian population. At least with the military, you can see the enemy. This is worse. Trudeau didn't even have to stage a false flag attack like Hitler did with the Reichstag fire. All he had to do was use his state-run media to label his political opponents, who are entirely peaceful, as white nationalist extremists. The state-funded Canadian media happily went along with his game plan. The U.S. media would... what will you think it do? Probably do the same. So, yeah. So, I don't know. All these stories, there's a lot more to get into in them, a lot more details. And that's one of the reasons we post, you know, the links and keep the archives up there. So, anybody that wants to join the conversation, discover something further than what we discuss, or, you know, doesn't like our analysis and take on it, could get back to the source material and construct their own view.
Absolutely. I got one more story we'll cover in just a moment to continue this conversation, which I think is the larger conversation about the push towards demonizing people who want freedom. This is what I've been calling the war on domestic freedom. You know, they're calling it domestic extremism, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, they're trying to demonize people, say that freedom means being racist or whatever it may mean. We're going to get into that. We got the latest story in case you haven't heard. Yes, the CIA is also spying on you, along with the FBI, the NSA, and many others. I've got a story about ivermectin in Mexico that I haven't seen many people reporting. And we got one more about Facebook, and then we'll be done for today, but we're going to go to some music.
Just because if I bring it up later, it'll be out of point. I don't really see how freedom can be racist, because if you're racist, you're kind of being determined by a dogma, right? Like all of this is that way. And it seems like in being determined by a dogma, like racism or sexism, you personally, the individual is less free, never mind what it does to other people, but the person caught up in that sort of view that's depriving themselves of, you know, friends or intellectual accomplishment that they may have by engaging with others, you know, trade, all this sort of stuff. All these freedoms are lost once you other the other individual and turn them into, oh, he's this way or she's this way, so I know everything and I don't have to, you know, dig or open up my mind to what they're saying. So I see being a racist as less than free.
I think that's definitely a good way to think about it, that being a racist is less free, right? But I also just, I mean, I don't want to get sucked into too much of that. I did want to bring it up to make note of it, that I think that if we're at that point, right? Because I do feel like, and maybe you would agree, Micah, we've seen this tactic used pretty often, that when somebody has to jump to race, and not to say that obviously that there aren't racists or that there aren't times that we need to talk about colonization.
Well, yeah, race issues, you know.
But like, yeah, but if that's somebody's go-to point, is like, oh, well, clearly these people are racists. Like, right. Like it just, it seems to me like the sign of somebody who's losing an argument, and the best they can do is just try to, okay, let's attach that really ugly label to them that everybody knows is bad people. And then of course we all know their opinions aren't valid after that. And that's kind of what I see is happening here, but I'm going to go ahead. Let's play this next song and then we'll continue here on Freethinker Radio, which is your home for uncensored news, underground music. And let's go ahead and play. We'll play a few minutes of this one. You want to play the whole thing, Micah, of Marvelous Monsters? About 5 minutes. We can do that now, or we can play it later. What do you think? I was going to play mine, but it's not ready yet.
Oh, well, we could close out with it. We could play Fascist Punk. We could play something else if you want. We can close out with such Marvelous, or we can just get it in now and then play the whole song.
Show Johnny some love real quick and just do a quick Fascist Punk and come right back, guys. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Freethinker Radio.
Everyone should be like me. Go. Everyone should be like me. 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 I think you should be like me. I think you should dress like me. I think you should act like me. I think you should dress like me. I think you should act like me. I think you should look like me.
All right. Well, I guess that says it all, right? Fascist Punk.
We're back, guys. Yeah, I always love that one because I feel like it fits in with so much of what we talk about, that just somebody who thinks that by trying to force everybody to think like them, they're somehow being unique, right? And yeah, continuing on with that theme, I'm going to jump right into the next story, and then we'll get into the CIA story in case you don't know about it. This is just, again, like I was saying a few moments ago, this next story, along with the Canada stuff that we talked about, the trucker convoy, seizing accounts, all the things Micah was just going into about the Great Reset and the connections with Trudeau and the World Economic Forum. To me, this is, again, part of the larger push, the fight to demonize people who believe in liberty and freedom, and they call it domestic extremism, etc. So right here, you see this was just published, Micah, 10 days ago, February 7th, by the Department of Homeland Security and the United States government. National Terrorism Advisory System Bulletin, dated February 7th, summary of terrorism threat to the United States homeland. And essentially what it's claiming here is that the U.S. homeland is under threat. And I thought this was interesting, Micah. This threat, they say it exists from February 7th, and it expires June 7th, 2022 at 2 p.m. So they know exactly how long this is an estimated threat. And we'll just get right into it. The usual language. The United States remains in a heightened threat environment fueled by several factors, including an online environment filled with false or misleading narratives and conspiracy theories, and other forms of mis, dis, and malinformation, or what they call MDM, introduced or amplified by foreign and domestic threat actors. These threat actors seek to exacerbate societal frictions, to sow discord and undermine public trust in government institutions, to encourage unrest. And it couldn't possibly be, Micah, right, that people have natural distrust of government institutions for lying to them, doing experiments on them, things of that sort throughout their history. It couldn't be that, right? Yeah. It's just conspiracy theories and, you know, foreign actors or whatever. So they're claiming that there is going to be attempts by lone offenders or small groups to commit violent mass casualty attacks. And they say that these conditions have been here over the last year, but there is a convergence of factors which has increased the volatility, unpredictability, and complexity of this threat environment. And the first one they say is that there is the proliferation of false or misleading narratives which are sowing distrust in the U.S. government. And when you go further into this, you get what are they talking about, okay? They say that there's widespread online proliferation of false or misleading narratives regarding election fraud and COVID-19. And that this could lead to violent extremist attacks. And there are malign foreign powers who are amplifying these false or misleading narratives. And and they kind of go on saying, like, as COVID restrictions have continued to decrease, increased access to commercial government facilities and the rising number of mass gatherings could provide opportunities for individuals to commit violence. So it's basically saying, like, well, since we're all going back to normal, now terrorists are going to want to attack us. And it says, The COVID vaccine and mask mandates have been used by domestic violence extremists to justify violence since 2020. And they're claiming this is going to increase, and we're going to see increase of attacks on U.S. Electric and communications infrastructure, and by including spreading false or misleading narratives about 5G technology, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, I mean, it kind of goes on from there, but you sort of get the gist of it. If you're a crazy anti-science COVID conspiracy theory, or you question 5G, or you believe in freedom, these kinds of things, then you could be seen as a threat in the government's eyes. I don't know. What do you think about that, Micah? More of the same? Expansion, continuation, acceleration?
Yeah, sowing discord. And if anything's been sowing discord, I think it's been all the freaking mandates. I mean, really. I mean, it teaches everybody that, you know, you can't be a responsible person. You know, you can't make choices on your own. You better follow it. You know, it's about the collective, you know, obedience to that. So if anything's sowing discord, it's saying that people expressing themselves are other, you know, and that's making a divide, putting labels on people. You know, someone who questions a vaccine is now anti-vax. They may have got vaccines as babies, vaccines, you know, all through their life. They may even get flu shots or whatever. But if they question the schedule of the new one, all of a sudden they're anti-vax, you know. All these sort of, I think that there's a lot more than just malaligned foreign actors that are sowing discord throughout not just this nation but other nations. I think there is discord because there's so much division. There's, and the divisions are being amplified, not just by, I'm not doubting that there's probably some foreign powers working to sow dissension in different ways all throughout the world, but I think that it's just, you know, all the, What do you say? Everybody's got their opinion, and they want to yell it at everybody. They want to, you know, virtue signal. They want to divide. They want to use every single little instance or event. It's all been politicized. So, yeah. And then what do you got? You've got the, you know, CNN and Fox and all of those guys, you know, playing on the divide, you know, playing on the divide every day, whatever it may be, any divide.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that you're right, Micah, the media and so many of the kind of the day-to-day interactions we have. For example, I was just having a conversation with, I told you earlier, I got interviewed by Vice News about a lot of the things we're talking about today. And I had to sit across this person who works for Vice and have a two-hour conversation about things that we clearly disagree with, but do it like adults and have a discussion, right? And what I was telling her is that the people in power don't want us to have these conversations. They'd rather you hear, oh, those people don't trust the mandates, or they don't trust the shots, or they don't trust whatever. Clearly they're crazy. I don't have any reason to talk to them. I should just disassociate with them. I should, you know, like you said earlier, make them an other and just dismiss them and kind of allow them to do whatever they do to them. They should have got the shots, you know, stupid people, whatever. You know, there's, you fall into this trap, this division, instead of us.
And that's just one issue. That's just one issue.
Exactly. And the point is that, like, rather than having these dialogues and face-to-face conversations, people get caught in, and I see it on both sides. I want to say, like, quote unquote, our side, people who might believe similarly to us also get caught in this trap of like, no, I can't. I mean, I had people telling me, don't talk to Vice because we all know what they're about and they're going to misrepresent you anyways and this and that. And like, I get that. But to me, this is what I said to her, is like, this is what I want to do, though, is have a dialogue, because if we can't have a dialogue, then we definitely are witnessing the fracturing of our world and we're not even living in the same world anymore.
I think that's a good point. And I think another, I'm really glad that, you know, that article mentioned discord, because, you know, I think that's something that we need to look at personally. Are you more for things or against things? When you are triggered or passionate, is it for advancing something or is it for rejecting something? Do you go out of your way to understand the other individual, or do you already know everything about them and their position? You know, are you a force of unity or are you a force of division? And you could be a force of unity and all about the individual. I mean, you don't have to be a collectivist to be a force of unity. I mean, social fabric exists amongst individuals. So I think those are important points. And I don't think it's just crazy violent. That's the other thing in that article. It's talking about violence. You know, that's the end result, right? There may be a bombing. There may be this, that, the other. And let's tie it back to malinformation, bad information, not wrong, just bad. And I, who's been the biggest violent perpetrator entity that we've known? Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, I hope you guys are enjoying the show so far. Of course, you're listening to Freethinker Radio. We do this every week on 90.1 KPFT in Houston and broadcast through the Conscious Resistance Network. You can find our archives at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. We're going to jump to another government up to no good story, this latest revelation that I don't know about you, Mike. I've seen it, you know, talked about in the mainstream a little bit, but maybe we're just so jaded that people don't even care if they're under surveillance by a new agency at this point. Like, because I haven't really seen it make a dent in the sense of it trending or becoming an outrage. You know, it's, I don't know, but let's go ahead and get into the CIA story here.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this before, like 10 years ago, right? Only now it's still going on, only renewed. So, yeah. It turns out that the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, has been carrying out its own bulk surveillance program that crossed over to the domestic front, stretching, if not outright violating, the legal ban on the agency carrying out domestic operations, because the CIA isn't supposed to carry out domestic operations. And I think this is what we're hearing about the Canadian story. These institutions, these beasts, whatever you want to call them, alphabet soups, they break the law all the time, if not outright violating the legal ban on the agency carrying out domestic operations. The revelation, the newest, latest one, I personally didn't think they ever stopped. But anyway, the latest revelation came from April 2021 letter made public just last week from Senators Ron Wyden from Oregon and Martin Heinrich of New Mexico, calling on the CIA to make extensive declassifications about the program along the line of earlier declassifications of NSA and FBI spying programs. You know, which alphabet soup is it? While the letter is heavily redacted, it gives us some strands of information. The senators run through the history entirely blacked out of Congress's attempt to limit and, in some cases, prohibit. Imagine that. These people, we could get some people and they would try to prohibit the warrantless collection of Americans' records. That sounds like a true representative. I think most people don't want, you know, people in their information. Maybe they've been desensitized to the point that they just expect it the way I do. But it doesn't mean they want it, right? Imagine that. Congress actually tried to limit it and in some cases prohibit this. And notes that the CIA's bulk data collection was going on throughout that entire period. This suggests that the agency was collecting data on Americans at least as early as May 2014, when the House passed the USA Freedom Act. It probably means the exact opposite, right? To rein in NSA surveillance, and possibly even earlier when the bill was first introduced in October 2013. The letter also charges that the program was run, quote, entirely outside the statutory framework that Congress and the public believe govern this collection, and without any of the judicial, congressional, or even executive oversight that comes with FISA collection. In other words, the CIA doesn't even have the patina of oversight that other mass surveillance programs do. You know, other ones that exist where the court established by the FISA Act meant to act as a watchdog, you know, effectively serves as a rubber stamp. Pop, 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 pop. That routinely allows all manners of overstep. Finally, this letter notes that this basic fact has been kept from the public and from Congress. And, quote, the nature and full extent of the CIA's connection was withheld even from the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. Wait, Central Intelligence Agency even withheld it from the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. Translation, not only was the CIA keeping this dubious program hidden from the public, it was misleading the very elected representatives the public entrusts with keeping an eye on this kind of thing. Whose CIA are they is what you got to ask yourself. Whose CIA are they? We have too little information at this stage to say much about the program. For its part, the CIA has insisted it kept Congress fully and currently informed about the program. Do you believe that? Which it casts as mere incidental collection of Americans' data in the course of spying on foreigners, others. In simple terms, that means that while eavesdropping on an otherwise surveilling a target, the agency happened to collect the data of any American who was communicating with this target, whether via email, phone, or something else. But the language of Wyden Heinrich is far less sanguine. The two senators warned the Americans' privacy concerns also apply to how the CIA collects and handles information in this program, and that there are, quote, serious problems associated with warrantless backdoor searches of Americans. I mean, we talked about physical warrantless searches. Why wouldn't you think that electronic warrantless searches run the problem? Sure enough, one of the documents released by the agency in response to the letter, a set of recommendations from the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board, notes that CIA analysts, quote, are not required to memorialize the justifications for their queries into Americans, write down why they felt the need and what they gave them the right to look at Americans' data. In other words, as a result, auditing or reviewing U.S. people's queries is likely to be challenging and time-consuming. Basically, they don't have to say why they were had to look at you in the first place.
This is another clear example, though, to me, because surveillance and concerns about surveillance, obviously, they predate our show. But we've been doing this for 10 years now, going on 11, and surveillance has been a primary concern since the very beginning. In the very beginning of the activist group we were involved in, the Houston Freethinkers, we found out that the Houston police were monitoring us and holding presentations on us, right? Like, it's been a very prominent concern and throughout our activism and the history of the show. And I honestly can say that I'm so jaded about it. Like, I care about it, but I'm jaded about trying to talk to people about it, because it seems like so many people just don't give a crap. And, you know, it's been so much inundated with surveillance stories that they're just like, yeah, at this point, everything's monitored. Who cares, right? I have nothing to hide. But, and again, this article makes some really good points. But what's frustrating is that these are the same points we made about the NSA surveillance programs. These are the same points we made about the prison programs. These are the same points that have been made about the FISA courts and how they act as a rubber stamp, as the article points out. And, you know, it's just, at what point do people really, I guess this is for me why I'm a non-voter, one of the many reasons, that like, you have stuff like this going on and you're telling me that somebody I'm going to vote for is just going to come in and fix all this. Like, I don't know. I just feel like when you really understand the different machinations that are going on behind the scenes of how the government operates and the level of not just surveillance, but just whatever the heck they want to do. And people assume, oh, checks and balances and committees and all the, you know, we have systems in place. It's like, dude, seriously, come on. Like, you have to be an adult about this. These people are doing whatever the heck they want, regardless of the law. So I just wanted to put that in there.
I think you're right in a lot of ways there. That's for sure. These people are doing whatever they want. And, you know, that's part of the problem. Whose word should we take on this? You know, on one side, we have the CIA, which, as former officer John Kiriko has explained, puts the seat at the very core of its operation, with agents, quote, trained to lie all of the time. On the other, we have Wyden, who is far more an alarmist or bomb thrower, and if anything, errs on the side of institutionalism. For years, Wyden was a tight-lip about the shocking truth of the NSA's bulk surveillance, refusing to breach his oath of confidentiality as a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Even as the government flouted the law, he refused even to publicly correct then Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, Director of National Intelligence, who, when he flagrantly lied under oath about the surveillance. So yeah, they will lie. As that episode reminds us, this particular overreach is only the latest case of spy agencies, like you were saying, Derek, and the CIA in particular, acting in a way that's above the law and contemptuous of oversight. The past two decades alone, we've seen the agency torture folks. That's a violation of U.S. law. Lie to Congress about that very torture. Then later, snoop on Senate staffers compiling a damning report about it, with its director also lied about once it was revealed to the public. There should be a bipartisan effort first fully to inform the public about the program, and then rein in both the CIA's domestic spying and the agency as a whole. This would be a no-brainer for anyone across the political spectrum. Do conservatives really want the agency that spent years feuding with and trying to undermine their favorite president scooping up Americans' private information and with seemingly no oversight? We wouldn't, you know, I don't even know why they say that. You know, that's just, you know, look at this. We check it out. What about people who care about, you know, people? We wouldn't even know the full scope of the Iraq war atrocities if Chelsea Manning hadn't leaked documents to Julian Assange. We wouldn't know about the NSA's mass data collection if Edward Snowden hadn't leaked documents to Glenn Greenwald. And we didn't know about the CIA program, you know, at least this current version of it, until two senators released a letter to the public about it. Can you imagine what we just don't even know? I mean, that's the thing.
Exactly. I mean, that is to me is the thing, is what we don't know, right? This is all just the tip of the iceberg. This is, and really, when you come down to the way the intelligence communities operate, these could all be very sanctioned leaks that they are finally just ready to let the public know. And like, okay, guys, you know, the senators had this, but you said it was April of last year, right? So they've been sitting on this letter for however long, and it's redacted, so it's not even the complete version of it. So we're not really getting the full picture here. So this is just like, yeah, let them have some crumbs from the table, and we'll tell them a little bit about what's really going on. We're getting short on time, though, Mike. I want to throw in one more song if we can, but I'll let you wrap up that story and end with whatever you want and go to a song, come back with a couple more stories.
Let's get us some music. I think that's about all we really need to say about it. The CIA and the banks, they draining you, man. They draining you. And, you know, it's time to, like, step out, do your own thing. And yeah, we can't worry about them. But the CIA, they get money off everything. So the bigger the budget is, the more they're getting. That's something to consider. I know a lot of people don't care about government spending, but this is a perfect example. They get money off of every government program. So keep that in mind.
Absolutely. Well, let's go to a quick song. This is from Elias Clay. She's one of the artists I've been hanging out with out here in Acapulco. She'll be performing tonight at a show that I'm performing at as well. So we're going to give her a song. This is called In the Light, and then we'll be right back. I got one story about Mexico City and ivermectin. I know Mike has got one more about Facebook as we wrap things up and finish with Marvelous Monsters tonight. So, yeah, we'll be right back.
I'll be ready to go, 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 soon as it drop, I flow. Keeping it rocking, nobody stop, the music beyond our control. It's a rebel, yeah, the soul within and beyond. Light strong, keeping it on as we traverse through this Babylon. It's a crooked road, my people been walking. Some disappeared soon as they started talking. When they try to turn the mind control signal off, that's when the goons come a-knocking. But there's too many of us, they can't touch all of us. Either way, we be rising up. We are unified, our forces have multiplied, and our souls have been fortified. Cause some have an appetite for the frequency of fright, with a tendency to feed in the night. What do we do with the vampires of this empire? We bring them to the light, to the light, to the light, to the light. That's right. We face them in the light. Torches blazing, the curtain is raising, people embracing the changes, coming with the kingdom running, and we tumbling the whole foundation. Raised in a concrete jungle, from the inside watching all of it crumble. I prayed for the day that people awake, together we break from the struggle. There's too many of us, they can't hush all of us. Either way, we be rising up. We are unified, our forces have multiplied, and our souls have been fortified. Cause some have an appetite for the frequency of fright, with a tendency to feed in the night. What do we do with the vampires of this empire? We bring them to the light, to the light, to the light, to the light. That's right. Face them in the light, in the light, in the light. Face them in the light. Only thing to do when the world's so dark, to light that inner spark and let it shine real hard. I drive that message like a stake through the heart and put a light upon the shadows. Oh, 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 oh. All of the shadows. Oh, 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 oh.
All right, we're back. Welcome back to Freethinker Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston. And that was Elias Clay. As I said, she's a hip-hop artist originally from Colombia, lives in Denver, out here performing in Mexico. So check her out, Elias Clay, if you want to check out some of her music. We got less than 10 minutes left with you on Freethinker Radio, so I'm going to jump right into my story that I wanted to cover. As most of you know, I live in Mexico, and you know, one of the things people who have been skeptical, questioning, asking things about Mexico and COVID relates to the topic of ivermectin. That medicine that you might have heard in the mainstream is horse paste, or you might have heard Joe Rogan talk about. It's often spoken about in negative terms, again, calling it horse paste or saying it's meant for animals, which is one of the uses. But like many drugs, it has use cases for humans as well as animals. And ivermectin has been given out by the Mexican government. It has been studied in parts of Mexico as well as India and other parts of the world. Some people feeling like it's useful, others feel like not so useful. But the point is, it has been deemed by some people a legitimate medicine to be giving out for COVID-19. But in the mainstream, as most of you will know, it has been derided. And pretty much if you talk about COVID, you're crazy, it's horse-based, etc. So this story that I wrote here, I'll put the link, of course, at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. I encourage you to read it. It's kind of a little bit of a saga back and forth. But the long and short of it is this, that at one time, the Health Ministry of Mexico City was distributing ivermectin as part of what they called home care packs. And these care packs included ivermectin. It included some other medicines like Tylenol. It included an oximeter to measure your oxygen levels and things like that, right? And sanitizer. And they were giving these out. And then there was not a study exactly, but an observational study released by some of the doctors and the scientists and the government officials and associated with this program, that they're in part of the program, the institution called the Mexican Institute for Social Security, which is part of the government out here in Mexico. And these folks put out an observational study that is titled, let me see if I can find the title. It's titled, I don't have it right in front of me, but essentially this was a sort of observational study watching the response that people had when given ivermectin and whether it was positive or not. They weren't just distributing this to anybody on the street. This was specifically being given to people who were falling ill with what they said was COVID-19. So they put out this study. It was published on a online website. You know, this is websites, Micah. They're like the scientific portals that you can go do, you know, check up researches. And the analysis was called Ivermectin and the Odds of Hospitalization by COVID-19. Evidence from a quasi-experimental analysis based on a public intervention in Mexico City. So kind of long title there. But again, it involves several different Mexico City government organizations, and they spent $1.4 million on these kits. They gave out many of them for a full year from the end of 2020 to the end of 2021, and even apparently at the beginning of this year before it became like a big, you know, hubbub because somebody started tweeting about it, and then, you know, people got outraged, and it led to the point where Socarixiv, I don't know how to pronounce this. It's Socarixiv. It's probably an abbreviation for something, but it's an online scientific paper database where this paper was hosted. So a tweet storm begins. People get upset and they start saying this paper needs to be taken down. It's spreading. It's helping contribute to this disinformation about ivermectin. And eventually the website caves and they take down the paper off their website, which is apparently the first time this has ever happened. And since then, though, the Mexican officials have continued to defend their efforts and say, like, hey, you know, this was just an observational study. This was just the beginning. It was meant to be, you know, lead to further research. And unfortunately, you know, it's not being taken seriously, or, you know, now it's being attacked. And so, yeah, you had one of the members of the steering committee of the online website, the scientific database, outlining why they made this decision. And then you had the scientists responding, including Jose Antonio Peña Marino, who is the director of one of the institutions involved, and he's the lead author of this actual analysis. He said that the accusations against him and the authors were deeply concerning, and he said that the removal of the paper was, quote, an indulgence in political innuendo rather than examination of scientific evidence. And he basically said that it was, you know, pretty crappy decision for them to make this based off of a Twitter thread. And then he also called it a colonialist and authoritarian move, and, quote, it seems to us extremely unethical, colonialist and authoritarian that in the absence of a serious argument, you close a work for political reasons due to the current divisions in your own country, he said, talking about the U.S. And then he also asked the guy who took down the study on the website, the director, what will you do, sir, with the 148 studies, 97 peer-reviewed papers, 78 with results comparing treatment and control groups in support of ivermectin, use since ours was conducted. And he also included a list of these studies that he says support his case for ivermectin. So, yeah, a lot of kind of back and forth drama in Mexico. But the point is, I think this represents the larger battle, Mike, like we were just talking about, disinformation, misinformation, people who might be dangerous. Well, according to the U.S. government, that means that some of these Mexican officials are spreading disinformation and misinformation because ivermectin has no use. We all know that, right? And yeah, so it's interesting to see that this case, though, the Mexican side, they didn't necessarily cave and say, we're sorry, we shouldn't have done that. They said there was value. We did this and they did stop the program. They did end it now. But they said they believe there was value to it. So
that's interesting. And, you know, I think this is a very interesting one for people to go check out the other studies that are you know, following the science on ivermectin. I mean, what would you say, 168 peer reviews of it. So that's pretty interesting study there. And, you know, a lot, like you said, a lot of it's information control, you know. Hey, I know I got this Facebook one.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you want to get into this one or you want to hold on to that for next week? Or
I can hold on to that one until next week. And I got another crazy one in next week, all about facial recognition software. But yeah,
let's for next week. I know you want to play this song, right?
Yes, I do. Such Marvelous Monsters. We said they're going to be performing Sunday. Another thing that we left out is the second half of Damian Kirby's interview, where she talks about defending a group who had their children taken away by CPS and how she helped them. They're radically different than her, but helped them to get her children back. If you remember Damian Kirby, she's running in, I forget which one, but we talked about that court and we talked to her last week. And so next week we'll have the second part of that interview. And it's been a great show. Looking forward to hearing Such Marvelous Monsters. And as I said, they're playing 19th hole Saturday. So.
Sounds good. Yeah, definitely next week will be a packed up show. We'll get the stories we didn't get to today. We'll play the second half of the interview we played last week and more music, as always, here on Freethinker Radio. Guys, we will see you next week. What's the song called, Micah, from Such Marvelous Monsters?
Tiny Fists. We haven't Tiny played Fist. That one before, and they've been guests here too, so we're glad to continue sharing their music.
Shout out to them and KPFT, and we'll see you next week.